At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
You are looking live at VSiN Primetime. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, here's Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel.
Hour 3 of VSiN Prime Time alongside Jonathan Von Tobel. I am Tim Murray. We will whittle down that most wins in May discussion.
I just wanted to update everybody, too. Thank you, Paul, for both watching and checking in on social media. As I noted that, hey, it was a tie, dead heat. Apparently, the tiebreaker for most wins is fewest losses. Ooh. So as we're pulling for our show mate, our network mate, Gil, also needs the Atlanta Braves to lose today, too. So let's root for these outcomes for our boys here. But wanted to clarify that for anybody.
All right. So what do we need to happen for them to win their bet?
So Guardians, win for the Guardians would be great, right?
Yes.
Get up to 20 victories. And then, of course, you can't have the Braves win because if they do, they would both have 20 wins, but Braves only have 8 losses, thus would go to Atlanta.
I got
so,
you. All
Guardians
right.
win, Braves lose.
All right. Go Guardians, boo Braves. Let's make that happen. Knicks right now up 37-31, 5 and change left in the second quarter. Your live line, Knicks minus 6.5. Total has gone down to gone down to 191.5. Easy for me to say. 37-31, the Knicks have taken that lead. Sixers got out to an early lead. Some slow shooting from the Knicks. In that one, they have since turned it around. Right now, just look at the box score for the Knicks. Jalen Brunson already with 10 points. Rebounds for Josh Hart. We talked about how well he's been rebounding in this series. The over-under on him was 11.5. He has 3 rebounds so far in this game. And the Knicks are shooting 51% from the field, but only 22% from 3. As for the Sixers, Joel Embiid just 3 points so far. He's 1 of 8 from the field. Is Joel Embiid leading the way for the Sixers? Is Tyrese Maxey, who has 11 points, and Tobias Harris, who people have enjoyed yucking it up about, Hex is 10 points in this game. But the Knicks, a 39-31 lead. I believe they're 16 of 22 from the fields after starting 0 of 8
Man.
From the field.
They are just outworking these fools, man.
Grinding them.
Michael Lombardi is very happy right now. For 76ers fan, Michael Lombardi is the happiest he's ever been. Ooh, must have heard it. Joel Embiid hits a 3.
Yeah.
Say Lombardi 3 times and Joel Embiid hits a triple. How about that?
39-34 is the score there. Coming up shortly, Orlando and Cleveland. We know there will be... no Jared Allen in this one for Cleveland. So a little bit of movement here for Orlando down to 4.5, was up at 5. Total down to, actually total is up a little bit to 203. Before this game tips off, which will happen here shortly, anything of interest in this 2-2 series, Orlando and Cleveland?
I mean, I would think that, I'll say this, without Jared Allen out there, do you look to potentially play this game over the total now that we're at a point where He's not there to play defense, also not there to kind of clog up the floor. So now if you move to like Mobley and some of these smaller lineups with him at the five, and then you can put an extra shooter out there, it's like Max Strus and George Niang and then Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. Does that allow you to kind of play with a little bit more flow on offense because your offense has stunk and by extension, making your defense a little bit worse? So we've seen, you know, you mentioned it, open 202, we're up to 203.5. I would think maybe that's the way to look, but as somebody who was burned by a team that scored 10 points in a third quarter in the day of our Lord, you know, 2024 in the NBA, the Cavs are dead to me. But I would think that that's a fish. Like, for me, that's the angle, is it would look to potentially play it over. But as we saw, too, yesterday, right, we talked about this. Market had played that game over for Celtics and Heat and closed 205, 205.5 in some spots, dead under 190. Didn't come close. So these games, especially between these slow-paced and ugly teams on offense, have been unders.
Not surprising we didn't update you on this. Doc Rivers told reporters about 15 minutes ago, Giannis and Dame both out. Market didn't move because the market was anticipating that to happen.
So today's our first day without producer Britton, and it was going swimmingly, but producer Wyatt today definitely moved down in my book. When he walked out here in the studio after you walked out in our commercial break and said that Antetokounmpo was playing, and I said, get out of here. He's like, yeah, Thanasis. I was like, okay, I'm going to punch you in the face. So very close. Very close to coming to fisticuffs.
This from Doc Rivers when asked, what was Giannis able to do today? Didn't do a lot. Did some shooting again. Did more after I left, to be honest, so I didn't really see it. What about Damian Lillard? He didn't do anything.
They're not coming back.
Is it over tonight? Game over?
I'll say, I don't know. I'll say this. Five is a little rich for a team that was fighting tooth and nail, right, for three quarters against the Bucks over the weekend. I do think that in-game-wise, it would be maybe an opportunity to bet Indiana if you think they're the side, but I wouldn't be running to lay five with the Pacers on the road here. The Bucks still have Chris Middleton. They still have Bobby Portis if he doesn't throw a fist in the first 5 minutes of this game. Those are still good enough pieces against a team that's not very good defensively that you can steal one at home, extend this out at the very least, and then Indiana closes it out. Much like we talked about, right, with the Lightning and the Panthers, where I was like, yeah, it feels like a spot where, hey, the Lightning, we've won a bunch of Stanley Cups. We're not going out like this. We're not getting swept. Instead, we'll go on the road and die quietly. And that's exactly what they did, and they lost, I think, 6-1. So maybe this is kind of what that is. Give us a last hurrah. Don't do this in front of your home fans. We won a championship. We're proud. And then just go get snuffed out on the road.
So who has the big game? Looking at the player prop market, you've got Bobby Portis over under 21.5. Hopefully for anyone who plays the over, he doesn't try to punch someone in the first quarter. Chris Middleton, 25.5. Brooke Lopez, 15.5. Who would you look at to have a big game if the Bucks can force this to a game six or just be competitive here tonight?
I mean, I think it's Bobby Portis. For the most part, he's played really well in this series.
Yeah.
When you're looking at it, and of course, a vast majority of these games are with Damian Lillard on the floor, but averaging 15 points and 13 rebounds on 43% shooting in the three games prior to getting ejected. And in that game, Tim, he was in 7 minutes, he had 4 points, three rebounds, and 2 of 4 shooting. Like
So he hasn't gone over 21.5 in this series, but also Damian Lillard had played in all those games.
Correct. And it looked like he was well on his way to having the workload over the weekend to potentially go over that number. So I think it would be Bobby Portis.
What about rebounds for Bobby Portis? 11, 11, and 18 in the first three games. His number, as you would imagine, is a bit inflated because of just how he's performed so far. Bobby Portis, his rebounds tonight, sitting at 12.5 at DraftKings. So a pretty big number.
It's a pretty big number, but it's just below what he's averaged in the first three games, so he's played pretty well here. Now, a lot of that is carried by 18 rebounds, but he had 22 in the first two games. So I think that as you kind of go to the point of who's got the big game, it would be Portis. Like, either over points or rebounds, I think that he's going to stay in this game. He's still a very good player. I think it would obviously go, like, the first look would be Middleton, but I don't think that they have a true option there for a guy like Portis. So I would do that. I think that that's going to be the spot because power forward is not the most, stalwart defensive position for Indiana. I think they were going to be able to do that pretty well.
So right now, as we continue to watch what's happening at Madison Square Garden, where the Knicks are now up double digits, 44-34, with two and change to go in that quarter, would you be looking to play a series price? And once again, we'll talk more about this, but speculating that the Pacers finish off the Bucks tonight, we'll see if they do. Maybe the Bucks show some life and, you know, force this to a game six. But would you be looking stylistically, when you look at the Knicks and how they grind games out, and then you look at the Indiana Pacers struggle mightily defensively, how do you like that series one way or the other?
Knicks in like four or five.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I got, if the Knicks are going to pull this off, again, they're leading right now. It's only by 5 points. But they're so good along the perimeter, right? When you have a lead guard like Jalen Brunson, who's going to go after Tyrese Halliburton consistently, go after a perimeter defense that was among the worst in the NBA, when you have the ability to shoot like they do, they can play with pace if they want to as well. They can go a little bit smaller. Remember, they had that four-guard lineup that they played with where it was DiVincenzo and Hart and Miles McBride along with Jalen Brunson and Isaiah Hartenstein there. Hartenstein's an awesome rim defender as well, so anything that the Pacers want to do in terms of getting within 4 feet, they could turn away. Yeah, no, I think that this would be a series that the Knicks, with how good they are, they could get this thing done pretty quickly.
We have the Yankees game on in studio. Oh, my Lord. Juan Soto just hit a ball that I don't know if it has landed yet. For those who are familiar with Camden Yards, right field, it's standing room only, and then there's a big fence, and that's called Utah Street out there.
Okay.
Yeah, he hit it onto the Utah Street.
Wow.
447-foot home run. Orioles still lead 4-2, by the way, but that was an absolute obliterated baseball by Juan Soto there. The favorite to win AL MVP. So final seconds, closing down Knicks and Sixers in the first half, and it is a six-point lead for the New York Knicks, so we'll see if they go into the locker room with a decent-sized lead.
By the way, we're in the sixth inning. Royals pull it off, 2-0. So got that thing in there. Jose Barrios is still pitching well, only gave up two runs over the course of five, but Barrios did give up a two-run shot that ultimately made the difference.
First five winner for you, and looks like that bucket, I believe, will count. So we are at the half. New York leads the Philadelphia 76ers 49-43. So looking at the first half numbers, first half under cashes in the New York Philly game, and first half cover for the New York Knicks, 49-43 as they head to the locker room. Knicks with a six-point lead over the Philadelphia 76ers as they try to close out that series.
I'm more rooting for Toronto here. Maple Leafs fans deserve some positivity.
No Austin Matthews.
Pull it off.
Out for just the second time this year. Boston, Toronto tied at one apiece in that one. Just underway in Cleveland and the Cavs and Magic. That one 9-6 early on. Stanford Steve will join us a little bit later on in the hour. But up next, we got to circle back to who had the most wins in May, JBT.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Father's Day is coming, a day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us. To crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, it's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker.
$50 off now until Father's Day. Visit BARTESIAN.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
This is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Halftime at Madison Square Garden, the New York Knicks lead by 6, 49-43. Looks like you're second half line is going to be -0.5 in favor of the New York Knicks. And we'll get you the total here in just a second as well. Pick, depending on where you look. So, looks like a pick second half, Knicks and Sixers. Total around 100. So, well under the pace of the pre-flop total of 204. Cleveland and Orlando underway with Cleveland out to a early lead in that one, 13-6 with 7.5 minutes to go in the first quarter.
Sorry, I laugh because Cleveland and Orlando is underway, and I heard a total of 100. I was like, it's probably the full game total. God, those games stink. They're not great. I tried. I can only do so much, Tim.
Well, you bet the over, and they had 111 in the first half and didn't come home.
Yeah, outside of just the result, I mean, it was just bad basketball.
So, I mean, how, if it's Cleveland, it's a little different, but if Orlando wins this series, I mean, what kind of series price are we looking at in Boston,
I mean,
in Orlando?
I think it's going to be pretty similar regardless of who makes it out.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's going to be a little bit shorter for Cleveland, but these two teams aren't that different from one another.
No.
You're talking about, what, laying 4.5? Well, and this is Jared Allen obviously not playing, but we're talking about, what, 3.5 closing number here,
yep,
somewhere in that range. They were catching 2.5 in Orlando, so it marks about a point-ish, two-point difference, depending on how you rate home court between these two in a neutral. So it's going to be pretty similar, and it's going to be pretty darn big, even without Kristaps Porzingis. I'm terrible at series prices. I would say that in the range of -2,000 for Boston to win that series. Does that seem fair? I don't know.
It is not going to be pretty, regardless. By the way, Kristaps Porzingis, right soleus strain. That is the same injury that Giannis Antetokounmpo is dealing with, as we read you the quotes from Doc Rivers. Didn't do much today at practice, and Giannis and Damian Lillard, no surprise here, both are out tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks are a 4.5-point home underdog. Before we circle back to best record in May, what do you got?
And really quick, because I wanted to go back and look to give me an idea. Yeah, so against Miami, the series price for Boston opened up -3,000. So -2,000 for a series price seems about fair, probably maybe something just a skosh underneath that. Some spots for that series against Miami were as high as -7,200 and -10,000 for Boston. So, yeah. -2,000 seems about right. We'll see what happens.
All right. I want to just quickly look ahead to tomorrow. We will have time on the show tomorrow to talk Boston, Miami, but more importantly, Dallas, L.A., Kawhi ruled out again. We saw your Clippers win on Sunday in thrilling fashion, squandered a big lead. Paul George hits the baseline J, and the rest was history. Also led to you having a new Twitter avatar as well. Clippers at home, catching three.
That's right, baby.
In a 2-2 series, Clippers, Mavericks, what do you got for me? Total, by the way, has come down a little bit to 208.5.
I mean, I can't do this. I don't know if my heart can take it. I will say this. I do like how, and obviously I don't think this would come as a surprise that I would disagree with Chris Miles when we were talking about that series for this. When it comes to this overall, I think the one thing the Clippers deserve some credit for here is that they've played pretty well defensively and consistently throughout this series. Now, their offense has not been good, and Dallas' rim defense has been incredible. The Clippers have gotten nothing inside of 4 feet of the basket, but the Clippers are the same length, have played well defensively, Tim, and they've taken advantage of the lineups in which Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving are not playing together. So for the series through two games, Clippers are just plus three, like literally just through four, for four games, 2-2. Clippers have outscored the Mavericks by three total points through four games. It's been a really tight series. It's been a fun series. Having said that, the difference is the Clippers, the Mavericks, when they have Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving on the floor together, they are plus 31. When those two are split up, they are minus 34. So that's like the difference. When you split up Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, are these lineups without those two going to be effective? And that's a little bit of an issue. Luka Doncic not being fully healthy is obviously an issue. We talked about the knee quite a bit here, and he has not played particularly well in this series by his own standards. And the Clippers deserve credit because they still have like pretty good players. James Harden has shown in a couple of games in this series. He can still get to his spots. He can still go after guys. The fourth quarter obviously was very brilliant. Paul George has been very, very good in terms of his ability to make tough shots, as we saw the big one at the end of that game. And I do find it funny, like, yeah, you're right. Like, they almost blew a 31-point lead. They also built a 31-point lead and held on the road to win a game, like, against a team that had everything going for them in that fourth quarter. So I do think that there is somewhat of an undersell here for how the Clippers have performed. Again, as somebody who does have a ticket on them to win the finals and has I fully admit, a skewed look on how they perform, I do think once more that it's going to be a tight game that goes into crunch time, but that the Dallas Mavericks, as we've kind of seen, like maybe a little overvalued, but we're sitting at 2-2 straight up, 2-2 against the spread, depending on when you got into these games. These two teams are pretty equal to one another.
So if you missed it last hour, we were going through the most wins in May market, and JVT made his point on why the Phillies and the Guardians were both an intriguing look. So you also had a long shot look,
yeah, baby,
at the Brewers, who, by the way, are up 3-1 right now, top of the third. Tampa Bay just hit a home run. And who else was a team intriguing to you? I think we ruled out the Astros.
Yes, I ruled out the Astros.
Plus 775, kind of the bounce back thought process, but not that easy of a schedule in the month of May. Guardians, you got me interested, even though you would think maybe a little bit of regression's coming, but that schedule is pretty tantalizing at 10-1. So what else jumps out at you?
All right, so we got two more, Rangers or Brewers. Let's start with the Brewers since they are playing right now. I hope they lose because I didn't have the confidence to bet them today. 26-1.
Okay.
28 games this month, 13 at home, 15 away. I wanted to bring this up because if you look at their schedule, nothing like sticks out a lot, okay? You get one game against the Rays to start the month. You get seven games against the Cubs, which on the surface seem pretty tough, right? Cubs are, you know,
winning the division right now.
Right, and a like-rated opponent, we'll call them. But remember, the Cubs are dealing with a ton of injuries right now. So, like, they're not exactly the Chicago Cubs. They are beat up in multiple positions. So, as a team dealing with quite a few injuries, is that maybe not as daunting playing seven games against Chicago? By the way, of the seven, four at home, three away. So, you have that slight edge there when playing at home there. Three games against the Royals. You get four games against the Cardinals, which, again, Cardinals, you know, the bottom of the division, not playing particularly well. Again, a little bit tighter, but still some manageable games there. I'm also accounting for the fact that the Brewers lineup has been really freaking good so far and that you're going to be, I think, trust in the offensive production. You get a three-game set against the Pirates, who have fallen off the face of the earth. Sorry, the late producer Britton. The Pirates are not the best team.
Producer Britton is not dead.
No.
He is just not working here anymore.
No, yeah, he's just not working anymore. I had him fired after he told us the Pirates were the best team in the National League Central.
You know, it was funny. He kept going into our ears and telling us about the Pirates, and then those quickly stopped. I don't know why.
So, and for me, the more intriguing part about the Brewers for having the most wins next month is the back end of the schedule. Three games against the Pirates, three games against the Marlins, three games against the Red Sox. You wrap up the month with a game with the White Sox. And the interesting series, which is why I brought this up to you when we talked about this earlier, how do we view a series Astros with the Astros? They have a three-game set with the Astros. It's away. Astros right now, by the way, gave up three runs in the top of the first inning here against Cleveland because Hunter Brown is just not good. And again, got through one inning, gave up three hits, three earned runs, and only struck out one, got taken deep. Like, I think you kind of view this Brewers team, like if we're talking about long shots, not the worst shot in the world to take, but the Brewers are 26-1 given that schedule for most wins in the month of May.
All right. Give us the pitch on...
I get it. All right, Rangers pitch is simple. Now, they have 27 games. 17 are on the road, so that's kind of the tough selling point there.
Yep.
However, these are the highlights. 2 games against the Nationals, 4 games against the Athletics, 3 games against the Rockies, 3 games against the Angels. You wrap up the month with 1 game against the Marlins. Mixed in there, you get the Royals, the Guardians, Phillies, Twins, Diamondbacks. Of those series that I just listed off, Royals, Phillies, Twins, all the way. You're going to get the Diamondbacks at home, but you get so many games against lesser competition. If you really go through those, we'll call it somewhat blemish-free, then you can start to maybe work your way against some of these other teams that we'll call, again, similarly rated in the Royals, the Guardians, and the Phillies. But I think when you look at the Rangers at 11-1, that was one that kind of stuck out to me. But for sure, and I think you're going to go in this direction, for sure I think I want to include the Guardians.
Yep.
Like, and then it would be between, for me, quite honestly, the Phillies or the Brewers.
You're going to get mad at me if the Brewers hit and I say don't do it because they are the longer shot, so that's the bigger risk. But for me, it would be the two are the chalkier ones. I would do Phillies and Guardians. I really like that Guardians one, and the market has obviously moved that way. But I would go Guardians and Phillies.
All right, we're going to
doing it.
Yeah, baby.
All right, there you go. Stanford Steve, Steve Coughlin from ESPN will join us on the other side. What were his biggest takeaways from the NFL draft? And do you have some thoughts on what we witnessed last night? Denver taking care of the Lakers, and who does he have coming out of that monster matchup of Nuggets?
Is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Check out VSiN.com. A lot of great write-ups up there. Of course, as we approach the run for the Rose, this should be your spot to get ready for the Kentucky Derby. Mike Somich got a lot of great content up there at VSiN.com to get you ready for Betting 101, the insights on pole position and more. Check it out now, VSiN.com.
Did you see Encino?
Not pole position.
Encino was scratched today. The 9 post.
Brendan Fraser, huh?
Done. Encino man, yes. Good pull. Quick update before we go to our guest line. The Knicks up 49-45, 10 and change to go third quarter as the Knicks looking to wrap things up against the Philadelphia 76ers. Cavs have a 5-point lead over the Magic, minute 51 to go in that one. Late night tonight on ESPN following the hockey. You can catch Scott Van Pelt and Stanford Steve on SportsCenter, and Stanford Steve joins us right now. Let's jump into the draft, Steve, and look at the 6 quarterbacks. Of the 6, which landing spot do you like the most for a quarterback to succeed as a rookie?
Oh, I think it's Caleb Williams for sure. I've been going back, guys, with just number 1 overall picks. Like, I was going through it last night. I can't remember a better situation for a rookie quarterback going to. Like, I get it. You know, the Bears are, you know, at traded. It's not a true number one pick. But, you know, kudos to them for making that trade, you know, a year previously. But when you look at what they've surrounded, like, they didn't draft a tackle because they like their tackles. That gives me hope on the offensive line. They go out in free agency and make moves as far as weapons go. You know they're going to have a better defense with Eberflus in charge. So, like, I'm going back, like, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, none of those situations compare to here. Now, the expectations are going to be huge, and Caleb, I think, is a guy that wants it that way. He brings that attention to himself. But when you look at the circumstances, and I also look at, like, outside of the team, the division, right? The Lions, is that sustainable? As likable as an organization with Campbell running things. The Packers have new success with Jordan Love, you know, winning a bunch of games at the end of the year. And then you have a team that's sort of like you in Minnesota, you know, going with a rookie quarterback. So I just look at the situation, and I feel like when you compare it to where we've seen guys, you know, have to go in years previous, this is up there with one of the best in my life.
All right, as a former tight end, I would assume that you're a big fan now of the Las Vegas Raiders, considering that Michael Mayer was a second-round pick last year, and now you get a first-round pick of Brock Bowers. But what do 2 tight ends like that do for an offense that doesn't have the greatest quarterback situation?
Well, first off, I thought it was the biggest head scratcher, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you heard Fontenot, the Falcons GM, talk about why they took Pennant, and he talked about conviction. And I'm not going to argue with you. If somebody hits all your bells and whistles, that's going to be your guy. I got no argument. You know, these guys get paid to do it. They put in way more work. And I think with the Raiders, I give them a lot of credit because they obviously had Bowers as maybe the top player in this draft. So when they get to their spot and he's on the board, there was no second thinking. There was nothing. Mayer had a great end of the season last year. I love him in college, as Tim knows, from talking all the years he was at Notre Dame. But I think it's a huge advantage because now you have balance in your formation. If you go to 12 personnel, if you ask any defensive coordinator, if they got two tight ends, we can't play a strength to the run game because both those guys are even. Now you can motion Bowers. He did that a ton in college. I thought Georgia did a great job of moving him around, knowing the attention that he brings. And, oh, by the way, they still have one of the best wide receivers. So I get the quarterback situation isn't great, but, man, I would be happy as hell to be one of those guys going into training camp knowing that you got a lot of options to play with. Things that defensive coordinators, I think, feel like the biggest headache. Like I said, balance. If you could split the tight ends into formation and both of them could run vertical, that's a nightmare for defenses. You show that you can run the football. I love that they got the center from Oregon. I think he's a plug-and-play guy. So I like what they do, and I give them a lot of credit because they said, no matter what, he's the best player available. We're not going on need. We're taking the best player. So I give them a lot of credit, Telesco, in his first draft with them.
Sanford Steve Coughlin joining us here on VSiN Primetime. Catch him and Scott Van Pelt later tonight after the hockey on ESPN. Jim Harbaugh back into the NFL, his first draft. He sticks and picks at 5, and he goes with Joe Alt. So you now have a bookend of your offensive line to protect Justin Herbert of Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt. They trade up to get Ladd McConkey early in the second round. I know Mike Williams is gone. I know Keenan Allen is gone. Win total sitting at 8.5. This is a team that, you know, it always felt like was expected to do more when Brandon Staley was there. Now you bring in Jim Harbaugh with his track record of success, Steve. What do you expect year one of the Chargers with Jim Harbaugh in charge, Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator, and what did you make of their haul last week?
I loved it. I love both LA teams' drafts. I thought that Rams did a great job. And when you look at I keep saying Michigan, the Chargers, he went out and got guys that fit his mold. Now, as far as a win total, I think that's going to be tricky because you know who's atop the division. I believe everybody in the division is going to be better. So when you factor in how stubborn Harbaugh is in his beliefs and the way he goes about things, that might not equal all the wins that people are thinking especially early in the season. There's a way that he lays the groundwork or he tells his team, this is how it's going to be. And you see that with some, I call it stubborn play calling, but it's a way to fit the mold and get guys to buy in. So I think that's a real tricky number. I get it. Everything's a little different now. I still am getting used to, 17. The 17 games. Yeah. And thinking the win total. But it's really hard. Right after the draft where everything's so positive to say an under. But I right now I would stay away. I think the schedule and how it lays out is really, really important for a team like the Chargers, knowing what they have up, what they're up against, and knowing what Harbaugh wants to do. Like, if these are his guys, these guys are all going to have the benefit because they're his and he drafted them. So that could take some time when you have rookies in key positions. Whereas, an instilled coach is going to go with the guys that brought him in and play the veterans more. So I think that's a tricky one. But obviously, the protection of Herbert is going to be most important. And I think there's going to be a lot more on Herbert's shoulders. And I'm not sure how he's going to react to that early on.
All right, I wanted to move off of football, but really quick, I just need to ask. You all right, Steve? You're doing okay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because I saw a tweet, do not let the White Sox get hot. Only 55 more. Are you sweating out a win total for the White Sox?
No, I'm just keeping tabs.
Okay.
Tabs might Might have the over. I do it every year. I take one of the lowest on the board. And this year I said, hey, the coach, the owner doesn't care. The GM's in a no-win situation. They have no talent. It's baseball. They'll figure it out. Give me 61 wins. It's something to look forward to all season. It hasn't been great, but hey, we got plenty of baseball.
Well, that's the thing. I would love to see the inside, like the inside of the brain of somebody who's sweating out an over on a White Sox win total. It's got to be a miserable place.
It's not a sweat. Just haven't tried to find. Going back to the old Nats days. I mean, I was on the Orioles train for a couple years that were bleak. Then we went back to the Nats. I believe the last 2 years hit that.
Yeah, baby. We hit it last year. We're 500 right now, Steve.
Hey,
you're
most underrated division in baseball, NL East.
That's your hometown team now, man. You got to embrace those Washington Nationals.
I do watch them. I do watch them, but I will not embrace them.
All right. Just wanted to make sure you're right. All right, really quickly, before we get you out of here, I also saw that you were retweeting, as we all were, Anthony Edwards' dunk to essentially end the lives of the Phoenix Suns. We could talk with the Suns any day. What do you make of this star turn for Edwards and what the Timberwolves could be?
I think it's just awesome. I really do. I just love the makeup of him. We were talking last night, Legler's in here and Van Pelt. We're just like, remember the draft? And it was like, we don't know if he loves basketball. He started talking about how he misses football. And then he gets it, man. I thought he was fantastic in that Adam Sandler movie where he played the bat guy. And you really saw that attitude. But, I mean, it is our attitude. Like, we had him on the show Friday night. And Scott's like, what does it mean to, close this out? He's like, I don't know. Like, using that because that's all he heard. He's never won a playoff series. Like, there is some serious fire burning in there. And I look at them big picture. And, I mean, you guys follow it. There's a huge opportunity for that team. And everybody talks about, oh, is it too soon? It doesn't matter when it comes. When you have this opportunity, and I love the way they match up with Denver, seeing how they have bigs to go at Jokic. The last time they played him, I thought it was creative, how they put Gobert on Gordon and put Naz Reid and still didn't have Towns on Jokic. So I think it's going to be a fantastic series. I do feel like Minnesota's getting a little bit too public, though.
I know. Come join us, though. Plus 180, baby. Come on. Let's have a little
Kermit,
sweat.
Kermit Wiltz will not let you down.
All right. Hey, Steve, appreciate it as always, man. Have a good show tonight.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Stanford Steve from ESPN. We'll put a bow on VSiN Primetime next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Father's Day is coming, a day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us. To crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, it's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. $50 off now until Father's Day. Visit bartesian.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is
is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Kentucky Derby time. Are you ready for the greatest 2 minutes in sports? Saddle up with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code VSINHORSE. All one word, just deposit $25 or more, complete the playthrough requirement. Download DK Horse now to join the Run for the Roses action only on the DK Horse app.
It ain't over yet in Madison Square Garden. The Philadelphia 76ers have taken the lead. Joel Embiid an and one to make it 58-55 with a free throw coming here for the Philadelphia 76ers. I had the wrong score, actually. 57-56, and the free throw will make it 58-56. Joel Embiid now with 13 points after a pretty slow start to this game. Tobias Harris has 12. And Tyrese Maxey sitting with 21. Jalen Brunson, 19 points, leading the way for the Knicks. Josh Hart, 10 points. Only three rebounds. Slacking on the boards there for Josh Hart. What are you shaking your head at?
The strike him out, throw him out here for Cleveland against the Houston Astros. So we got three runs in the first inning and then a top of the first inning. And then just a whole bunch of nothing. So we got this first five over five. Looks like at least two more runs.
All right, let's just run through what we've accomplished so far here tonight. We've
not much.
We've talked about a lot. Talked about most wins in May. What did we come to the conclusion?
Phillies, Guardians.
All right. I have tailed you on those two, plus 850 for the Phillies, 10-1 for the Guardians. Cleveland, by the way, up 41-37 right now on Orlando. That series tied at two games a piece. VSiN.com, make sure you check it out. T-Wolves taking on the Denver Nuggets in a highly anticipated series. You believe, and I do as well, T-Wolves at plus 180. Intriguing option there.
Yeah. I mean, as somebody who, like, realistically, as somebody who has got a Western Conference futures ticket on this team to win it, it would be in the best situation to not do anything here, but I think they're going to win the series.
So interesting, if you go over to
I've always believed.
If you go over to DraftKings, so we played the series price on Denver and Los Angeles at minus 1.5 games. If they won in six or less, which of course they did, you win your bet. We played minus 140 as opposed to the full series price. Minnesota is minus 120 at plus 1.5, meaning if it goes to seven or Minnesota wins, you win your bet. Is that getting too cute, JVT? Do you think seven games is in the cards, or would you rather take a full swing at the plus 180? How would you look at those two series plays?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that seven games could be in the cards here. I mean, these are two teams that are pretty evenly matched with each other. We saw them in the regular season series, right? Split four games, and we're really tight in both of them. And the one game right back at the last game that they played with each other was tight down to the wire, and eventually Denver did pull away, but Karl-Anthony Towns didn't play in that game. So, no, I think that this is definitely a series that has some length to it, if you will. And as many will probably say, could be the Western Conference faux finals, if you will. I still think I was wildly impressed with the way the Thunder dispatched the New Orleans Pelicans, so I think we're maybe sleeping on them a bit. But just from a roster standpoint, these two teams would be considered somewhat kryptonite-esque for that small Thunder team.
I know you said you don't like predicting series prices, but if you think about where we sit right now with the Thunder, and I would agree, especially after game one was like, and then really took care of business, especially games two and three, do they open an underdog?
No, I don't. I mean, they won't against Clippers. That's for sure. Okay. If the Clippers win, they will not. And I would think no against the Dallas Mavericks. Now, the market really does like the Mavericks, but I do not think that would be the case against Dallas. You note the hesitancy in my voice, though, because the market does weird things. I didn't think that the Suns would be favored over the Minnesota Timberwolves. And yes, and they got bet up. But I think Oklahoma City is good enough from a power rating standpoint that they would deserve the respect. Now, you would just price it however you price home court. Like, essentially, I think they're power rated pretty similarly to, like, near equals to each other on a neutral. So you give the edge to the Thunder because they have home court in that series. But I don't think there would be a world in which the Mavericks would be favored over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now come back when the Mavericks open up like minus 220. over the.
I'm going to go ahead and say they're not minus 220. But I do wonder, you know, if we do get Mavericks and Thunder, to your point, hopefully don't get that for your sake. No Kawhi Leonard for game five tomorrow night. But if we were to get Mavericks and Thunder, I do wonder if there's a buy point on the Thunder if that thing gets bet up. Because I would agree that I think most people outside of game one, let's be honest, I don't think a lot of people watched the Thunder games against the Pelicans. They disposed of the Pelicans. Well, they should, right? No Zion? Of course they should take care of business there. I'd be curious what the perception is going to be from a market standpoint and if we could get the Oklahoma City Thunder on sale a little bit in that series.
I mean, you might, but I still think you're laying a small price. Like, they should be favored there. And we'll see. Maybe the market moves. You also have to consider, too, that I would think the market might be turned off. Dallas is playing, at the very least, two more games. Same thing with LA.
Sure.
You know, so you're getting at least
massive
two
rest
games
for Oklahoma City.
Correct. So you're talking about pretty good advantage there in terms of rest. A very physical, pretty gritty series here against the Los Angeles Clippers. The Thunder are loving it because they're just watching these two teams beat the crap out of each other, and they get whatever hobbles out of this series. So I think all of those factors, the Thunder would be maybe a cheap series favorite, but a favorite nonetheless.
Real quickly, Knicks have regained the lead 65-61, media timeout with 3:22 to go in the third quarter. In-game price, Knicks minus 4.5, minus 250 on the money line. Total down to 188.5. Still to come tonight, the Bucks and the Pacers. No Damian Lillard, no Giannis. That game scheduled to tip off around 9:40 Eastern time. Bucks now a 5-point underdog at DraftKings. And I do see one shop going out to 5.5. A juice? Oh, no, I'm looking at an in-game price. I apologize. I was looking at the wrong game. Five. It is a juiced five at some spots. But you think we get a little fight from the Bucks in this one?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I think playing at home, we saw some of that fight when they were extremely shorthanded in that game over the weekend. So now you're back at home, the desperation spot, if you will. You would assume a full game for Bobby Portis, but you never know what crazy eyes Bobby has in store.
Don't be punching people, Bobby. All right.
I mean, that's,
some people are playing your player props tonight.
Ask Nikola Mirotic about that one. Yeah, we all remember that.
I don't think we do.
Yeah. Do you remember?
Yes.
Bobby Portis. For those who don't remember, Bobby Portis in a practice with the Chicago Bulls, alleged. Well, I think we know because he got suspended.
Yes, he did.
Punched Nikola Mirotic in the face, broke his orbital bone.
He break his face.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, like orbital bone or something like that. And really, Mirotic kind of faded away after that. I think he played with the Pelicans after. Whatever. Nikola Mirotic being mentioned today was not in the bingo card. Regardless, I do think you get a better effort from Bobby Portis. So I think you get a little bit of fight. Five is just too rich for me. You know, like laying five on the road. I get it's, you know, it's
but
an elimination
like said,
game.
And I think what you said too is fair. Is like, this is a Pacers team that didn't pull away against a Bucks team with no Dame, no Giannis, and no Bobby Portis until the fourth quarter.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, the Knicks, I want the Knicks to wrap this up tonight, and I kind of want the Pacers to wrap it up so we can get an intriguing series price, and I would probably, I'd be fascinated to see what that series spread is, minus 1.5, because you think about it, Denver versus LA was minus 140 at DraftKings on that series price, series spread, I should say. I would think we'd get a cheaper price on a series spread at minus 1.5, right?
We haven't updated from LeBron James.
What do we have? Oh.
I've seen, heard a lot of reports about my future. I said it last night, and I'll say it again. I will be declining my player option, and I'll be hitting free agency. No, he says he doesn't know, so that's the update.
I thought you were being serious there for a second.
You were like, wow, whoa,
like, what?
Whoa, yeah.
Like, this is not LeBron style.
Announcing on Twitter that he was going to decline his player option and shift the entire landscape. Yeah.
By the way, hey, I saw this going around Twitter. You know, great night for Team USA. Now, LeBron, KD, Steph Curry, well rested. Let the Canadians play deep series. Let Nikola Jokic.
I was going to say all of these international players,
let them
right?
All play deep series. Luka. Well, I guess not for your sake. But yeah, let's
I mean, he's got two more at least.
Let's just Rudy Gobert could play a deep game. Now Anthony Edwards is on the Timberwolves. He's only 22. Just let them all play deep.
Fine.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, actually, get Joel Embiid eliminated. He's playing for Team USA. Come on, let's go.
Oh, I'll believe that when I see it.
I think you will. It was a pretty big deal, like where he was going to choose. So I feel like
Kawhi Leonard ain't playing.
I mean, the knee injury, I would say no. The last thing that guy needs is more minutes on the knee.
Why did he even agree? Like, when I saw he was the last one, I was like, is this a joke?
I mean, he is having a strong year, and Kawhi Leonard coming off of the bench, he could do worse.
No, if he's healthy, absolutely, but Kawhi Leonard.
They better crush these Olympics, I'm telling you that. After that, I woke up at 2 in the morning to watch America fail in the FIBA World Cup. Better not happen again.
Are we going to go to USA Canada here in Vegas in the middle of July?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. Knicks.
USA. USA.
Up 70-69. 50 seconds to go in the third quarter. All right, thanks to everyone who joined the show. Todd Furman, Mike Sanford, Chris Miles, and Stanford Steve. For JVT, I'm Tim Murray. Hoops Peterson next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.